we have like six national championships. Now when I'm looking at the years, it's like 1990, 1995, 2000. I'm like,
So
that's
somebody
like
from Michigan called you?
no. But
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 56 of season 5 of the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide and recorded from the state of hockey. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
Rob Gilreath.
Hey, guys.
And Matt Cavender.
Hello, everybody.
Today's a little different than most of our podcasts. We're going to take the opportunity to focus on Michigan Tech's arch rival, Northern Michigan, and their portal situation. On March 31st, we decided to follow through on some things we talked about, writing a April Fool's story, and Northern Michigan's portal situation just seemed to be the perfect opportunity. And as part of me writing that story, I included a certain Northern Michigan player as being signing a pro contract, and he reached out to me on Twitter to inform me that that was not true. And then we had a nice discussion about satire and being April 1st. And then more people jumped in the portal, and it just felt appropriate to reach out to him and see if he wanted to come on the podcast. And he said yes. So thanks for joining us, Artem Schlein from Northern Michigan.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I think obviously, you know, the portal situation is important. And you guys being from Michigan Tech, you guys want to know too, and the whole CCHA kind of wants to know what's happening, and that's why I'm here.
All right. So we're pretty much going to focus on Artem and his career and what's going on at Northern Michigan and the portal in general. So I don't think there's really anything else we want to talk about today, guys, right?
Yeah, I think that's the short of it, yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with Artem Schlein after a little thank you notes and a brief note from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIA tech.net.
Welcome back. Before we get into this with our guest, Artem Schlein from Northern Michigan, I just wanted to give a shout out to all our newest patrons, Chadwick Elder, William Nolan, and Dylan Diaz, who all signed up at the gold level, which includes extended versions of every podcast and access to unedited YouTube videos, usually released before the public. YouTube videos are usually like the morning after we record. Dylan is also the first to take advantage of the new Misfits levels, which have lower price points, but are only available to current college and high school students. Thank you for your support, guys. Now let's let Rob ask Artem a question.
you came to the UP for 2 years. Would you know anything about the UP as an outsider at all? What's the experience been like for you just coming in, right? As someone who's from up there, I'm always super curious what people think about it once they get to know it a little bit.
Well, honestly, funny story, but when I got recruited by Northern, I was like, it's Northern Michigan, right? So I was like, it's in Michigan. And then at some point, you know, when you're like kind of close to making a decision and stuff, you go and I go into my like Google Maps and I go Marquette, Michigan. And I see it's not even like, you know, in the Michigan like state. It's like on the other side.
Yeah. You're up there. You're not down there. Yeah.
But this story kind of proves my point is when I'm making my decision, it's not about the location. It's not about what town it is. It's about the coaching staff. It's about how the team is playing. It's about the guys in the locker. That's the three most important things.
Yeah, the focus.
Some guys might be, you know, some guys go and they're like, oh, I want to play closer to home. I'm going to go and play, let's say, somewhere where it's closer to home. Like, that's what their decision is based on because I want to be closer to home.
We've seen that a lot, I think, with St. Thomas, right? Like, so many of those guys are Minnesota boys that are coming back home for their last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you've been moving around for 10 years already, right? So
I think it's a great program, and it's on the up. And before the year, when we were thinking about it, like I looked at St. Thomas and I was like, they're gonna finish top four in their conference. They're gonna have home ice for the playoffs, just because they're so well coached, I think. And obviously, they don't have a rink right now, but it doesn't prevent them from getting commitments from really good players.
Yeah, they've got a really distinct advantage in where they're located, right? That I think they're gonna be one of the top teams in CCHA very, very soon. Sure. If they're not already, right?
Yeah.
I think they've already proved that this year, that they're going to be around and be good really fast for sure. And then I guess one of the last questions I got for you is just, you know, we're a tech podcast, right? What's it like playing in that rivalry game from the other side?
I don't think there's anything in college hockey that could be matched to that because, like, I played in Hockey East and there's, you know, the BU-BC rivalry, and I went to one. Just kind of when we didn't have games, I was like, I want to watch how it is. And it's not like, it's just like that's your rival and you're just playing them. But Northern versus Tech, that's a little different because here it's like town versus another town.
Yeah.
Like the community is so tight, I think, with what makes it different for the CCHA. And that's for like the people listening. It's so different like how fans care about your team compared to other, you know, big programs. Like, obviously, there's North Dakota and there's history, and that probably is unmatched. But there's also, you know, Tech, and they're like, you go anywhere in town the week before you play Tech, and everyone's like, oh, good luck versus Tech. Good luck versus Tech. You know, it's a huge thing in town. And then people recognize you. Like, you go out to a grocery store, people recognize you, and people come up and talk to you. Like, it's special. That's what makes your college experience special. So, I mean, playing at Tech, I think it's a good experience, but I hate playing at Tech. I hated playing it, and I think their guys hate playing at our rink just because the fans are so, you know, so on it that it's packed and, you know, you don't want to be there, but you have to come out and do your best. And, you know, I'm happy we really did well in my last year against Tech, and it kind of was a, you know, a continuation of my junior year when we beat Tech in the semifinal.
Yep.
But
bring it up, huh?
Both programs are competitive though. Like, you know, you guys won the Mason Cup this year. We almost won it last year. And I think it's, you know, that makes it a big rivalry too, that you don't only want to win the conference, but you want to beat your rival. So that keeps both programs competitive.
Yeah, it's one of the interesting things. Like, I went out to the game and in Providence this year and beat, you know, BC out there talking to BC fans, stuff like that, and talking to them afterwards, there's a just a raw hatred of BU and BC between those fan bases, right? And if I'm being honest, I don't want you guys to win anything at Northern in conference at all. But once you get out of that, and we're talking tournament wise, I want the UP schools to do as best as they possibly can, so everybody knows about the UP, right? You know, I think it's like We talked about this on one of our podcasts where it's like, you know, the family thing, right? I want to be able to be the one that beats the living shit out of my brother, but nobody else can beat up on my brother. And as soon as he's on the big stage, I want him to do well, right? I don't want you guys to ever win in conference, but once you're out of it, by all means, go to town, do the UP proud, right? It's a different attitude, I think, towards some of the other rivalries too. It's got that weird little family edge to it that you don't get otherwise.
No, I agree with you. You know, like this year when Tech was playing BC, like many guys on our team were cheering for the CCHA. You know, it's obviously it's Tech, it's a rival. Like, but you cheer for the conference to do good because you're in it together, kind of with other teams, and you want to be successful. So it's good when the conference is successful. But I'm very sure of it that it's gonna flip around soon enough. And CCHA is gonna become a, you know, a good conference. Maybe there's gonna be some switching, you know, around between conferences, but I think it's gonna help it a lot too. And I think bringing in good players into the conference is gonna help, you know, the younger guys who are maybe a little immature to make that decision and their families to come to the team and trust and pick it based on the coach, not pick it based, you know, on the facilities and this and that and the past, you know, past championships. Like the thing I hated the most when I got recruited is like some team would call you and they're like, we have like six national championships. Now when I'm looking at the years, it's like 1990, 1995, 2000. I'm like,
So
that's
somebody
like
from Michigan called you?
no. But it's just an example of like that's what some like coaches think that they can recruit guys based on this and like guys that are like smart enough and understand what they want enough. Like, first of all, like there's a different coach, let's say, and there's different players in the locker room. Like what happened 20 years ago is not like you can't bring that up. Like maybe like you can recruit guys by saying like, let's say Quinnipiac, like by saying that yes, like we won the national title 2 years ago. That's recent experience. There's players in the room that did it. So you want to be a part of it. You want to learn from it. So that's why maybe they get good players on the portal too. But saying like stuff like that just kind of, you know, coaches have to understand that you got to be honest with the player. Like if you're honest and you open up, that will help you to recruit better players for sure.
Titles from the 90s and the 70s and 60s aren't quite so relevant anymore, is what you're saying, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
The banners might be hanging in the barns, but they don't make a difference anymore.
So two questions on the recruiting front. One being about, like you mentioned, how much the rivalry and then that town versus town stuff. So do you feel like that's like a big selling point for the CCHA versus like what you experienced at UConn or saw in Hockey East?
I think that, you know, seeing that firsthand is obviously like when, let's say, Tech or Northern bring a recruit that's not committed yet and they show them a rivalry, I think that's going to push them to
Should
come in. And like,
your campus
and
visits
the
should
other
be
thing is
during
like,
those weekends?
the other
They need
thing
to be
is
during
like the
those weekends.
crowds. Like, if you have good crowds, that's like people like want to come watch you. Like that shows that they care about the program. That shows that the culture is good in the program. It's all connected together. So like that's why like Tech, like almost all the games are kind of packed. That's why Mankato, like every time we go to Mankato, it's packed. And every time we watch a game at Mankato, like because they've had, you know, like Mike Hastings was there and I probably like I would assume he left a really good culture in that place. And it was good culture. So that's why people care about the program. Like Northern, like when I came in my junior year, like there's been like a lot of games that are like you think like we're playing, you know, like it was Ferris State. We played Ferris State at home, like our last game at home, and we're battling for the playoffs. It was packed. And Ferris was at that point, I think they're like the fifth team, something like that, or sixth. And they're about like not like we're playing for, you know, the championship, the McNaughton Cup in the last weekend of the season, kind of how it was between Tech and Mankato last year or Bemidji and Mankato this year. But still this like you come to any almost any rink in the CCHA and you're gonna see the fan bases. Like you don't see that in other conferences, I think, as much. There's obviously teams like there's Western Michigan, like everyone knows about their kind of fan base and stuff. Like there's like North Dakota is always packed. But some teams like they're good hockey teams and you just don't see the fans as much just because they have such a big roster turnover. Like you can't get, you know, kind of acclimated with the players and it's not a tight community.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it helps being in the only D1 program, right? And being the big thing in
For
town. I mean,
sure, 100%.
for Marquette and Houghton, it is the thing to do on Friday and Saturday. As long as there's not a Hancock or a Houghton, basketball or hockey game going on, that can draw some fans away. But it's definitely the big thing in town, right? I mean, it's what I grew up doing every Friday and Saturday night. There was a home game. That's where we always were. So, all
So then
right.
the other recruiting question, so like Michigan Tech has made six NCAA tournaments in the last decade and the last 3 years in a row. It hasn't gone well for them. But how much do you think, like, that, I know it's not, you're not going to Tech, but how much do you think that plays into, like, a recruit or a transfer's
opinion? I think, like, going back to it, everyone is different and everyone is making their decision based on different aspects of the program and so on. So every little detail inside the program matters. And you have to just understand what this person, player, recruit is looking for. Like, you can't, like, that's why you got to build a relationship even when you're recruiting. It's not just, okay, make a phone call. You interested? Yes, I'm interested. Okay, just come in here. Like, you'll have a great experience. Bye. You know, that's not going to get anyone anywhere. How, it doesn't matter how good you're of a program you are too. Like, maybe some smaller schools, they have to do some more recruiting, some more, you know, building relationships than like the bigger schools. Because for bigger schools, it's a little easier to recruit with the resources. But you have to build a relationship with every recruit. And obviously making the tournament, obviously that matters. Like, everyone wants to play in the tournament. Like, I played college hockey for 4 years. I've never played in the tournament. And I was so close twice. You know, I played in the conference final twice and lost in overtime twice. Obviously, it's a dream, you know. And, like, Tech, it's, I think it is a big selling point for them making the tournament three straight years in a row.
Yeah, we haven't done it since the 70s when there were national titles won as well. That's the last time it happened that many times in a row. So it's been, like I said, I grew up there, right? The amount of crappy, really, really crappy hockey I watched about, you know, 10, 15 years ago compared to the level it is now, and seeing, you know, the level the CCHA is at now is vastly different, right? We were the bottom of the WCHA for way, way, way too long. You got to see Minnesota come in. You got to see North Dakota come in, but it was getting to see Minnesota come in and beat the team up, you know, 8-0, something like that, every time they'd come. Never competitive. So it's been a good change from that perspective. I think the community is a little more around the team because the team's been successful. It's just a matter of now the CCHA translating that to out of conference and actual success in the tournament. But look at where Mankato went last year, right? I mean, or 2 years. Was it last year or 2 years ago they went on their run?
2 years ago. 2 years ago.
Right, yeah. So they went on their run 2 years ago. The CCHA teams can do it, right? It's just a matter of this year, I think, being a bit of a weird year for some reason.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, like, you know, like, teams started losing right away. And, like, well, at least, like, you know, for Northern, like, we just got, you know, a lot of injuries in the beginning of the year. And we played Duluth, and it was, like, a really good, like, really two good hockey games. It was, like, 5-5 the first game. And second game, we lost by, like, I think, 2 or 3 goals, but still high scoring hockey, and it was really good. And
well, you guys got, like, that was like the no defense series, right? Where basically everyone was putting in a ton of goals.
Yeah, and remember, like, right, if you think about it, like, Duluth, like, if you ask, like, any person, any hockey fan, like, what do you think about Duluth? Like, they'd be like, okay, I think they're more of, like, on a, you know, structured side, kind of playing the right way. And obviously, everyone, the team wants to score goals, and Northern is probably considered a high, you know, flying offense in the CCHA, but I don't know how much of a high flying offense it would be like in a different conference. So it's always, there's always a balance, and there's always, you know, like, when people are preparing for teams, preparing for Northern, all like I hear about is like, oh, those guys, offense, offense, offense. But, you know, it's crazy enough how, like, people think like there's no defense at Northern and stuff, but there is. There's so much time put into every aspect of the game and the program that, like, and sometimes it doesn't look that way because, you know, there's high scoring games, but that's kind of back to the point of the Duluth game, you know. We thought like going to the game would be a close, you know, 2-1 game, but it turned out to be 5-5. So what? You know, and then we played ASU. That was tough too. Like, they have a really good team. And again, starting 4 games, playing on the road, that doesn't help either. So,
yeah, that's one of the things I hope the CCHA does get better with. And, you know, maybe part of the transfer stuff can be agreeing to, like, actually, all right, we'll take the transfer, will come, but we'll come to your barn for a couple of games, actually, instead of sitting in Minneapolis or in Ann Arbor and never leaving. You know, that's one of the frustrating things with the Big Ten to me, is that they never leave. They don't travel. They always want to play home games, and I get it, right? It makes sense for them to want that. But that was one of the awesome things about the WCHA and the old format of the CCHA, is you did have Michigan, you did have State coming up to play games in Marquette, and, you know, in the Sioux, right? So you had those big schools travel, and that's huge for the little programs to get that.
That's the other thing. Like, I think that a conference games, they got to be, better scheduled, kind of, not like that you're deciding who you're going to play. Because at the end of the day, like, some teams are, they win a lot of games, but then they look who they played against, and they played against like the bottom 10 teams. Their out of conference games were against bottom 10 teams in the pairwise. And yeah, you have a really good record. You got so many wins, but like, how competitive was it? So it's got to be a balance too. Like, maybe every like really good top 10 team needs to play against the bottom 10 team, and maybe there'll be an upset. You never know, but it's got to be balanced. It's not like one team is picking their out of conference schedule and being like, okay, we're gonna play probably the weaker teams, or another team is like, okay, we're gonna schedule the best teams in the college and try to upset someone so we can go high in the pairwise, because that's not fair to others. Some teams don't get to pick their schedule because, they don't get the resources to travel, for example, as much.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing with the way all the pairwise works out, right? It's where like the tournaments that Tech's been doing seem to be really helpful, right? Doing GLI, that coming back, doing the tournament that's going to happen out in California, I think next year, right, Tim? So, those are
Yeah, we'll
nice to see.
see. Hopefully.
It is so hard to sweep a team in college hockey. Doesn't matter who you're playing, even if it's a bottom 10 team or something, it's so hard to win two nights in a row. That's why like people see so many upsets with like bottom teams kind of upsetting one of the games is beating the top team, and then that team drops in the pairwise like 10 spots after that, So
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
it's going to be good to play good teams for like kind of weaker programs, smaller programs, and prove themselves, And also build kind of a community, build the fans, and make fans come to the games.
Anything else, guys? I think we took
No, I
up
think
enough
that's
of his
good.
time,
That's
so
been awesome,
yeah.
Artem. It's definitely been good to get the player perspective, get an outside of Tech perspective, right? I mean, we get our gold colored, or, well, I guess gold colored glasses, not yellow for Northern, right? On it's been good to kind of hear your perspective on it, and what you think about the UP coming to Northern, all that kind of stuff. So really awesome to have you on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for coming here, and kind of like the last time for everyone, everyone who's going to be listening. It's important to hear an opinion of a past player. And, there's, again, nothing wrong with Northern as much of like the transfer portal talk as people think. And yeah, it's just great. Like, when I saw that, it was just, I was like, I like, you don't think like you kind of you know that players are going to go out and some fans are going to be upset about them, and they might speculate that this and this would happen because of that. But it's crazy to like to understand how much of like how much people don't know. And like, they're hockey fans, they go to every game and they watch a lot of games, but at the end of the day, like, you don't know what's happening inside the locker room. And that's why like all those kind of rumors might be wrong.
Yeah, there's a big reason why pro sport punditry and talking crap about pro sports is one of the biggest industries on the planet, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody's super interested, super invested, and wants to run with everything they
100%.
hear. That's just the nature of the sports beast, I think.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast tonight. This was a great conversation. I don't think any of us expected it to go this direction, but it was a great podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Now we'll let you go because you don't need to listen to Dustin read the review from the Mankato fan and probably talk a little bit about other
Sounds
stuff. But thanks for joining us. That was
Yeah,
great.
of course.
Yeah,
Thank
thanks again,
you.
Artem.
Bye.
Best of luck in narrowing down your choices and wherever you end
Appreciate
up.
it. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one. Bye.
You too.
All right, Dustin, you want to read the review?
Sure. There's like a word in here that I don't know if it's a typo or if I just don't know what it is, but
Where
I think
is it?
that's that all right, bro.
All
Maybe.
right. All right. Okay. So there's a okay.
But that ite, I think
Yeah,
maybe
height.
that's that
Height.
ite. That's
Yeah,
how
that's what it is.
I'm reading it too. I'm not
Okay.
sure if that's
Okay. So
correct or not, but
it's slang that's not supposed to be written, but being written.
there you
There, Tim
go.
adjusted it for you in the
Okay.
doc.
There, you can read now.
Well, it
It's
hasn't
been
loaded yet.
translated to not
On the Google
whatever
Doc.
slang it was.
Okay. Here it is. 5-star review. This is like what, our second one
I
ever
think
that I've
third,
had.
no, I
No,
think it's the
wait.
third, because there was the one from David where he ranked everyone's facial hair.
Yeah, Biddy wrote one too. And then there
Okay.
was
Let me but look. You go ahead and read it. And
I'll
look here.
What up, Huskies? I'm writing this from the underground bar in downtown Cato. I'm guessing after a few beers. Whiskey Cokes are strong. Sorry, I should have read ahead. Whiskey Cokes, not beers. Whiskey Cokes are strong, and it's time I said something nice about MTU. I'll forever think that we should have won a couple weekends ago. But hey, totally killer production you guys have here. Love hearing some honesty. Getting opposing teams, fans, media, folk, and the important folk in the college CCHA on the pod is incredible. Absolutely love to hear about this stuff from a different perspective. Needless to say, roll Mavs, but you guys chill. From the Mayo Maniacs. So thank you, Mayo Maniacs, for the great review.
Now, are they going nuts for the Mayo Health Clinic, or are they just in the seats, like, with a tub of Duke's Mayo, just, like, going to town? That's their
Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Because it used to be the... Because it's the Mayo Clinic, right?
So I know. It's the Mayo Clinic Event Center.
Changed names, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to use this freaking app anymore to find out stuff. There it is. Okay. There's one.
Yeah, but I don't think I started reading them for the first few. I think we had reviews before I started reading them.
One, two, three.
I know I read David's, but I don't know if I read another one before that.
We've had 8 5-star reviews with text. And I think you read Pitu's, and I don't know. Some of them are pretty short and sweet. So I think, like, the first time we did this, you probably read a couple of them.
Well, but
it's been a while. Because two of them were 4 years ago. And then three of them were 2 years ago. And then two of them were a year ago. And then today. So nice to get that. It's really nice to hear. I really appreciate hearing from fans outside of Michigan Tech bubble that really like the show. And we've tried to do, like, we are a Michigan Tech podcast, but I also like to think of us as, like, the CCHA place to go to get podcast. The CCHA news, because we care about more than just tech, because we want the league to succeed, right? And I think one of the things that Artem kind of touched on that I think we all kind of agree with is, like, I think, well, he touched on how much, you know, St. Thomas is on the upswing and everything. And I think one of the things that the CCHA can benefit from the most is having, like, maybe not the same teams, but having two teams that can get somewhere close to where Mankato was, because it's just, because I feel like the CCHA perception until Hastings left for the last several years was it was Mankato and everybody else. So the more we can do to have multiple, like, if the CCHA as a whole is similar to what it was this year, but we win a few more games, but then every year, you know, somebody's winning the Mason Cup, somebody's winning the McNaughton Cup, and somebody's making two teams are making the tournament and somebody wins a game. As long as it's not just the same team doing all of that all the time, like it was Mankato, I think it can rise the whole conference and allow, like, getting St. Thomas to get really good, and if Augustana can hit the ground running and get really good, that just makes it that much easier in some respects for the rest of the league to recruit, because they're, what did I do that's so funny, Rob?
Sorry, no, me and Matt are screwing around in Discord.
Okay, I don't have that up, so okay. Are we still trying to get Kellen and Diaz to sign up for the
super level? Yeah, we're harassing that, and I just took Jay-Z's part and told him I'll go to Bantz and leave a channel clean.
Okay. But it's just like the more that the conference can have that success, the less likely pro teams are going to be pushing players out, because you can have success there, right? Like, it all builds upon itself, in that the better we can get, you know, the top 3-4 teams to be in a given year, like, the easier it is going to be to recruit and keep players, and you should be able to build. And honestly, like, we talk about, like, Northern Michigan is really the exception, and I haven't updated my stats lately, but if you ignore Northern, and they're out of, like they're obviously skewed on the graph. So, like, if you take them out of the equation, our numbers look almost as good as the Big Ten. Now, granted, that's just the departure side. We're not, and one of the problems, I think, for the CCHA to this point is that we don't have the Like, we're losing Polkamp, but we're not getting Matthew Wood. And I didn't expect to get, is it Wood or Woods? I don't remember. But, like,
I think it's Wood, yeah.
We're not expecting to get a guy like that back in. But, like, whereas the Big Ten might be losing some guys, but most of those guys are getting replaced with somebody comparable, right? Like Strammel left Wisconsin, but he's going to Michigan State. So it's not like it's really
sideways move. It's not, not leaving the league, right?
Yeah. But other than that, anything else you guys want to talk about?
Make sure everybody says goodbye to Diaz because he's got one more hour left in the Discord before we kick him out.
Because he's talking about things in the wrong channel or what?
No. He's done absolutely nothing wrong. We're just kicking him out.
Okay. Gotcha. We're just having fun with Diaz.
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh my God. You guys.
That's what we were giggling about while you were talking. Sorry.
Dustin doesn't know any of this, and that's okay.
would it be known that there is a cap on how many hot takes you can have in the Tech Hockey Guy Discord, and Diaz has found it?
Okay. Anything else, guys? Or should we wrap this up?
No, it's a good, really good conversation. I appreciate Artem coming on. That was actually pretty fantastic. I don't know what we expected, but that wasn't it, and it was great.
Yeah, again, it didn't go anywhere where I thought it was going to. I thought this was going to be like a whoa, like deep, like our eyes into what's going on at Northern, but it ended up being a really informative conversation of what it's like from the player side to be in the portal. And I thought it was really.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they have a huge
class coming in anyways, right? And nobody's writing that side of the story because that's not the one that grabs the headlines. And
no, I mean,
lets us
everybody wrote that story.
Right. Yeah.
All the writers wrote that story.
Yeah.
They did. It was all the fans that are just like this going, you know, going nuclear. Right. And it was really nice to have him come on and take that perspective of like, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving on good terms. Your coach is great. Like the fans need to chill basically. Right. Like,
well,
everything's
fine.
That's
right? A key to a lot of this. There's a huge difference in some of these situations between leaving on good terms and leaving on bad terms because not every portal situation is the same. And there's a lot of them out there that aren't leaving on good terms. And it was great to hear that, you know, his perspective that he is leaving on good terms and that he's getting support from the coaching staff. And that's great. And that's the way it should be, but they're not all like that.
Yeah. And the one question I wanted to ask that I got distracted from asking, and I'm not sure it actually crossed my mind while we were talking, was kind of asking about the publicity around the portal lists itself. Like, does he think it should be public? Does he wish that like the list wasn't indirectly made public like it has been, like that kind of stuff, just to get his sense of would he rather it just kind of happen behind closed doors and all of a sudden there's a tweet that says, hey, thanks for my 2 years at Northern, I'm going to UMD or whatever, right? Because I think part of my problem, like, and obviously you don't want it that way, but I know that's what's really hard for a lot of college hockey fans to grasp with is like, you know, like I don't blame Rylan Mosley for leaving, but why is he leaving? Like, and I think Artem pointed out multiple reasons that could have nothing to do with Michigan Tech other than like, hey, like, and I know Mike McMahon, one of his big comments was like, this could be the first time that some of these players have played anywhere for more than a year.
Yeah.
Because they just get moved around so much. And like, that's just the nature of like junior hockey sometimes. And like I don't blame Ryland at all for leaving because spending 4 years anywhere is a long time, honestly.
Well, I think we've been pretty consistent on that every time we talked about the portal. I don't think there's any problem at all with leaving as a grad transfer. Like, you have given 4 years to a program and
even three years if you graduated.
Or even three years and graduated, right? That's fine. Like, that is, you know, that's commitment. And you gave everything you had to the program for that amount of time. And you want to go and get a graduate degree somewhere? Good luck. Best wishes. I have no problem with that at all.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we were all like, and I didn't bring this up when he was still on, but like, you know, one of the examples that kind of fed into what he was talking about guys choosing academics, wasn't it was it Terrell Buckley that left? And I thought he went to Canisius because of grad school. Was it not, Matt? There's somebody that left specifically because of the grad program, or like.
I believe that was, yeah, I believe that was what got him into Canisius.
Yeah. So there's certain things like that where, like, and obviously I don't think any, like, for the most part, I don't think any of us have had any huge complaints about, until this year, about who has left Tech in the portal, right? Like, you might not be happy about some of the guys leaving because you felt like they were promising, but it didn't work out for whatever reason. Like nobody, like, I'm happy for Datema to go somewhere else and get opportunity, and I'm happy for Buckley to have gotten the opportunity to continue playing hockey for another year and work on his master's somewhere. Like, you're happy for those kind of opportunities. And I think, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you can really sum it up with the problem that that I think us and a lot of people have with the portal is just the turning certain leagues and programs into farm programs for
That's the Big my Ten
fear. And the big and bigger programs. Yeah. That is the issue.
Yeah, and it really plays. You know, football's obviously to the extreme of this, but like, one of the things that we've always known about college hockey is the reason that the CCHA could succeed, right, is because they would have four-year seniors that are 24, 25 years old because of how long they played in juniors, and they've got more experience. And the big schools like North Dakota and Minnesota and Wisconsin and BU and BC are constantly churning their roster because two, three guys signed a pro deal after one or two or three years. And now those big schools have the opportunity to backfill that roster with Ryland Mosley and guys like that, or whoever's wants to leave from another program, or Eric Polkamp, like those kind of guys. Like, obviously I don't agree with the narrative that like I've seen some people complain about Polkamp leaving and talking about, like, you know, Bemidji homegrown talent. And it's like, he was drafted before he got to Bemidji. Like, Bemidji did not make him into a great prospect. Like, obviously,
I think homegrown talent is because he's from Brainerd right down the road. Like, that's why they're calling it homegrown talent.
I get that. But at the same time, like, it's not, I don't know. I think I get that side of it, that he's a somewhat local kid to Bemidji. But like, it's not like, it's not like a kid was like a nothing prospect and then goes and plays at Bemidji for 2 years and suddenly he's the best defenseman in Bemidji and then he's leaving. You know, like, that's what I'm thinking of. Like, I don't know. Well, like a Ryland Mosley, even, like, maybe not this year, but like, if he had left after like last year or something, like, you would be a little more frustrated because it felt like it was a kid taking his opportunity, and then he succeeds at in the CCHA and then tries to move on to something bigger before he's really finished what he started. And part of me also feels like the Tech stuff feels a little different this year because, like, they got that trophy at the end, so they can kind of close that chapter if they want, because they did accomplish something. It's not like they're, like, obviously I would want them to come back because I want Rob to finally see Tech win at a regional.
I want to see Tech win at a regional too.
In person, right? But
it will happen.
But at the same time, yeah. At the same time, maybe it'll happen before the next eclipse goes over Minnesota, Wisconsin, right? In 2099.
Yeah, we've all learned that.
Yeah. Yeah, I only got to make it to 119 years old to see one without driving anywhere. So, but it'll probably be cloudy that fucking day anyway, so I won't see it there. Thing.
The clouds are what let me take a picture of it. If it wasn't cloudy, I wouldn't be able to get a good picture because it's too damn bright.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's all we got to say there. Joe show is going to be on Thursday of this week, so we will probably take that in and try and absorb a little bit more about the portal, which stays open for, by the time this drops, it'll be like a little over a month yet, I think, because I think it's May 14th is how long the portal can be open. It's been really slow trickling since like the first 5-6 days. So I don't expect to see a whole lot more, but you're going to start seeing like the guys at Michigan State and Minnesota that are getting pushed out because Charlie Strammel and Wood are coming in. So there's going to be some roster churn that way. So you'll probably see some more guys coming in as other decisions get made and they get pushed out, kind of thing.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is F-I-E-B-K-E Dental.com.
Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Pietola and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group, serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more. Who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the portal plays out here. Yeah, like I said, there's only been five guys that have entered the portal today. Looks like there were six or seven on Friday. What is that? Three, six.
I think like my favorite portal guy. My favorite portal guy is still a free agent, and that would be Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
I thought you were going to tell me that Tanner Edwards was finally coming.
Oh, he's 1B. He's 1B.
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine, beanpot legend. I'd love to have him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard as a Tech man to see a kid like Kyle leave and wonder what's going on behind the scenes that led to that, you know. And I think that's, I do feel like that's the worst part of the portal for fans, is trying to wrap your head around that, right? Like
100%.
Well, I think the biggest thing from the conversation we just had is, I think fans need to realize it's not just going to school for 4 years for the kids. It's thinking about where they're going to go next, what's best for them for their career, right? And maybe the only chance they have for a different perspective on things. So, yeah.
Yep.
Artem had definitely covered that very, very well.
And as, right. Yeah, and as much as we think, and we like, and I know part of it too is just that how much, you know, we went to Tech, we graduated from Tech. So we're sitting here going, why would anybody want to leave? Right? Like, right?
Yep.
But think about how many kids you knew in freshman year that did not come back sophomore
yep.
year.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly. Like, hell, how many kids did you know first semester were gone?
Right. Right. So it's not for everybody. And Wisconsin is not a bad place to get an engineering degree. Be interesting to see if that's actually what he majors in Wisconsin.
Yeah, maybe he, you know, he did his couple of years of got his gen ed stuff out of the way first, started to hit some actual engineering classes and went, this sucks.
Yeah, and still got good awesome. Grades because he was on
how
the
how many
list,
folks
so,
do
I don't
you
know
personally that did that at, yeah. from Tech, right?
I did that and I just stuck it out and graduated. Yeah. Yep. Oh, well, now that this went longer than I wanted it. Anything else you guys really want to talk about?
No, I'm ready to go to bed.
All good. Right. I think you can probably expect us to do something sometime after the show that Joe's going to do on Thursday, possibly wait till the portal closes or at least wait until we have some recruiting or portal news, because it's very likely that Michigan Tech will do something similar to last year where they get a kid like Isaac Gordon because Michigan State made some moves in the portal. Or go after some of the guys that are leaving Wisconsin or whatever, and take advantage like we did when we got Bliss and Bretzman. So
yeah, and there hasn't been any recruits of any kind for quite a while. So
yeah, our last recruit decommitted, and before that, I think our last recruit is like a year ago now. Like, I think our last recruit was like March 2023. So it's been a while. I get it though, from like the perspective of like Joe has a lot of the recruiting done. And I think like most of what he should be doing is filling the roster from the portal to keep classes more even.
But you still need to keep, I mean, I would have hoped to see, you know, adding a couple guys 2 years out, 3 years out.
Yeah. Right? And maybe that's, yeah, because like their last big recruit was Van Blaricum from Humboldt, and he was still a little bit out. And yeah, maybe they, maybe part of that is because just that age group doesn't have a ton of the like the family connection guys, and some of that's just they haven't won those battles, or those kids haven't made decisions yet, you know? Because you're talking about like I think part of it is for Joe. If part of it feels like the if they're not getting the kid like Van Blaricum, Joe is no longer going to commit to them at 16 or 17, right? Like, I feel like that's a shift because they're trying to, like, if they're not getting a kid that had an opportunity to go just about anywhere, they're not going to make those commitments because they can, with the portal, they can just make those decisions later and later, I think. That's how I'm looking at it. I mean, Notre Dame is in the same boat. I kind of went through Heisenberg's list to try and look because it felt odd about how long Tech has been gone without getting a recruit. And Notre Dame's in the same boat. They've actually gone, I think, a little bit longer. I think it's January 2023 for them, at least according to Heisenberg. And so, yeah, there's a lot of teams that have kind of slowed that aspect. And I think some of it, too, has to be like Joe, like, with what he did do with Isaac Gordon, like you're going to have these Big Ten schools, if they keep backfilling with the portal, they're going to have to let kids go from commitments because they can't just keep pushing them back. And a lot of those kids, even if they have time to get pushed back, if they picked Wisconsin, they didn't want to get pushed back in the first place. So I think that seems like the direction the staff seems to be going is if they don't get a kid that they expect to be blue chip, they're going to wait. So I don't have a problem with it, but it makes it a lot harder on Seema and myself to like get you guys excited about the future. So
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
All right. Well, that should do it for this episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please check out our Patreon and join by visiting patreon.com/tech hockey guide. Kellen and Diaz should have done that by now, but they dragged their feet, so now I don't get to call them new patrons tonight.
Yep, they were talking in the Discord about splitting a membership, and they didn't do it in time. They could have been.
They really wanted to listen tonight, and I told them they could split the $25 a month silver level, and I'd give them both the green tag or the yellow tag in Discord, and they dragged their feet.
Now, instead of just kicking out Diaz, I got to kick out Kellen, too. It's going to be an absolute ghost town on the THG Discord now.
Yeah, the Bantz channel can just go away now, I think. All right. Patrons at the white level or above receive question priorities. Patrons at the black level or above receive access to extra podcast content, including extended versions of every podcast. Patrons at the gold level or above receive unfiltered YouTube video of the podcast each week, which usually drops the day after we record. And then that silver level we were talking about, which we have a couple members at, is $25 a month. And that gets you access to the like unfiltered audio file. Basically, as soon as Zoom is done processing it, I post it up on Patreon for everybody to listen, or the two of them to listen. So follow us on Twitter at Chasing MacPod or at Tech Hockey Guide. As you heard earlier in the show, if you leave us a 5-star rating on Apple, Dustin will read the review and leave. You leave no matter what it says, even if it's from a Mankato fan. So let's get some ratings and see what you guys have to say. If you don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can't find your podcast on the site of choice. Please let us know and we'll make it happen. One thing about techhockeyguide.com that I think we're going to try and work on this summer is creating a proper landing place for mitchesmisfits.com instead of just redirecting it to the Facebook page, and kind of trying to build out Misfits history, I know I asked Matt for some pictures, but if any of you out there listening have good pictures of any of the big road trips that the Misfits have taken over the years, like Huntsville or any of the six regionals that Misfits have traveled to, please let us know and send it on over so we can get that stuff included. We really appreciate your support for Misfits with the fundraiser. That's turned out really well, and now we actually have a pretty good base for trying to build basically a Misfits travel endowment going forward, which is great to see with all the support from alumni and friends, and even one BC fan who felt it was his duty to donate a few bucks to make sure the hockey gods didn't ruin his team season. And Buchigross, yeah. He doesn't know how to spell college hockey, but he supported the Misfits. So I have to mail him a shirt as soon as I get done making those.
He better wear it on ESPN. If he does that, then he'll get a year. He'll get a year free off my shit list.
He might not wear it on ESPN, but you know he'll take a picture and tweet it out because he loves doing that with different stuff.
While he's wearing a black and gold college hockey hat. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's fine. So if you did donate over $330 to the Tech fundraiser, you're probably not listening to the podcast anymore because most of you don't listen to this part. Once I start reading, well, that should do it. But if you are and you haven't told me what size t-shirts you want yet, check your email. You should have a form waiting for you to tell me. I think there's like six of you that haven't. If you can't find that, just go ahead and contact me on Twitter, Facebook, or via the email that you reply to, like the email that you got when you signed up for the fundraiser, because we need to get those shirts ordered here soon. But I think that's about it. So once again, thanks to our sponsors, Fibke Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, Arcadia Insurance Servicing. Come on, map. Pull up. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Texas, Arizona, and soon to be Pennsylvania. Rob, are you going to contact them?
I do have a meeting with our financial advisor that I was supposed to have that conversation with somebody by this time, so maybe soon.
Okay. I told him it might be coming, and that might be the only way that he sponsors us again, so give him a call. And Livonia Technical Services, which also includes author Mike Antleitner and his books on it's in the Amazon store. I'll make sure Nick gets some ads or some listings in there for his books, and we should probably update this so it talks about that more. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.
It is on my desk. It has been opened finally.
Tech Leadership 4.0. Okay.
I have my hand over Mike's name. Unblur, you bugger. It's in there.
There it is. I see Michael. Mike Antleitner.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not unblurring. It's a disaster zone back there.
Yeah. Let's see.